Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yep, you guessed it. Still happy. All right, Tiki and Tierney coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday around the country, July 11th. Before you know it, a little Hard Knocks popping up on HBO, a little banging of the helmets, football's around the corner. And, of course, we have you every step of the way. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right. You know, it's amazing. For a guy who's really never even come close to winning a championship, I would say, give or take a couple of years, maybe the last 25 years or so, as polarizing a basketball player as we've had. It's Carmelo Anthony.
That's right.
Polarizing for a multitude of reasons, whether it's his only year at Syracuse, which finally gets Jim Boeheim a title, or the scoring machine that he was in Denver with no real tangible team success, one trip to the Western Conference Finals aside. Mostly hollow, empty numbers with the Knicks, you know, losing season upon losing season, save for one. So he's got a real interesting legacy because in terms of getting the ball in the bucket, there haven't been many like Carmelo.
It's true. His legacy is complicated.
But there's always been a big but with Carmelo. And maybe we finally got the most tangible reason as to why. Listen to what his former teammate, as respected a person as there is in the NBA, it's just a matter of time before Chauncey Billups is a GM. He's already turned down the Cavs. He's on TV. He's smart. He's connected. Chauncey Billups, and this was said on Sirius XM NBA Radio, taking us behind the curtain. This is amazing.
I feel bad for Melo, and here's why. Melo was like a good teammate, man. Like,
yeah, it's a great
Melo practiced every day. He didn't miss any games. Now, the only thing I will say, and I've even told Melo this, scoring 30 meant too much to Melo. It meant too much. Because he could have games where he had 20, 22, we win the game and he's mad. He might have 36 and he's in there, you know, we lose the game and he's in there picking everybody up. But I think now you look fast forward to tape and the reason why he's not in the league because he's still worthy is he hasn't mentally taken that step back to say, okay, I'll come in and play against backups. I'll try to help the team out. I know I might not be able to close, but I just want to help. Well, he's not there yet.
Okay, and really in terms of wasting time on whether or not Carmelo Anthony ever gets there mentally, that's not really the mission because he looks like a decaying athlete.
Yeah, I mean, would we ever know if he's ever going to mentally decide to be
He either plays and does it or he doesn't. Yeah, we'll get our answer soon.
Yeah.
What's most interesting, I mean, listen to these words. He could have games where he had 20, 22, and we win, and he's mad. He's mad, right? He might have 36, we lose, and he's up there picking everybody up. And we all know that guy. He drops 30. Hey, yo, we're good. We'll get it tomorrow night. When he scores, we lose 36. Yeah. We're good. I got it. We'll pick it up. We're good. See you tomorrow. Let's go. He scores 22. He's dour.
Yeah.
He's not approachable.
But is this all bad?
I think it's horrendous.
So I give you the prime example that from my personal experience.
Yeah.
Jeremy Shockey was kind of this way. Not fully this way. I don't think he was selfish like that. But if he didn't have a day, he took it personally on himself. Win or lose, didn't matter. If we won and he played terrible, he'd be in the gym. If we were at home in the locker room, he'd go back and work out, start lifting weights.
Doesn't seem like a negative to me so far.
Not a negative. Same thing if we lost and he had a bad day, he'd be back there working out because it's like he was punishing himself. You know what I mean? And so, how do we not know that Carmelo just expected more of himself? I'm just being devil's advocate here. Didn't he expected more of himself when he had those bad days, whether they won or lost? Yeah. It was just how he expressed himself because he was disappointed in himself. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I think it's incredibly unrealistic to think that you actually believe what you just said.
Well, I'm just being
because
devil's
of the style of play that he
no,
had.
No, I'm being devil's advocate.
I hear you.
No, I don't. I'm just being a devil's advocate.
I don't buy
advocate.
That for a second.
And it's different in basketball because there's 82 games, right?
Yeah, and unless Shockey
can
stuff.
Flip it. With yeah. football, I mean, you have a
it's
bad...
It's also more... It's 1 week. You,
right.
You fight.
Exactly
you,
right.
You work up to it. You pissed
you
off.
You build up to it.
Different
and
energy.
You build up to it and you lay an egg. It's different.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we had a shoot around this morning and then I also laid it. You know, it's
correct.
Different.
No, it's very different. I also think that Carmelo's style of play reinforces the truthfulness of Chauncey's statement.
Yeah, I got to get mine.
I got to get mine. Because you watch jab step, pump fake, jab step, hold it. Oh, seven to shoot on the slide. You know, jab, let me go. 3 seconds. Got to let go. To the detriment of his team.
Yeah.
Now, when he was a little younger and he was a little more spry and bouncier, not that he was ever an uber athlete, but he was a pretty good athlete for a while. You know, he'd finish with some pretty good dunks and he'd get to the line. He'd always get to the line and he was tough as nails. Like, I want to say Carmelo's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him. First of all, I was at the game when he got into the fight with J.R. Smith. And remember, I showed you the video of Nate Robinson pulled up his shorts at half court. It was crazy. he popped Jared Jeffries. It was 94 feet of this might turn into the Pistons.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was scary. Carmelo's no punk. Carmelo's tough as nails. But Carmelo's style was always more detrimental, in my opinion, than it was advantageous.
So earlier this week, you said that he was going to end up on the Lakers. You still believe that?
Yeah, one of his boys is going to throw him a bone. Because if one of his boys doesn't throw him a bone, he's going to go play. He's not playing nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you have to listen to this again. He could have games where he had 20 or 22. We win, and he's mad.
Yeah.
Period. I don't need to hear anything else. I don't need to read anything else. That is a horrendous reflection on Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo is
the champion.
34 now.
The champion. The
mindset.
The mindset. The approach. So what motivates him?
He's 35 now. Almost 35.
Boy, that's terrible words right there. Wow.
He's 35 now. Yep. What makes you think that a team wants a guy like that? Or at least
I don't think anybody wants him.
This narrative is that way.
I don't think anybody wants him.
Then why would he do it? You know, why would Carmelo do it?
I think he needs to finish. He was unceremoniously dumped. I mean, one thing, and I'll defend Carmelo. I don't want it to happen in a Knick uniform. I wouldn't mind him going back to Denver for a symbolic finish. But he was a great enough scorer. He deserves a little bit more of a respectful send-off. I'm not saying he go through the whole, you know, Dwayne Wade, I'm retiring tour. But I'd like to see him go out on his own. I mean, he's a good guy.
I think most people feel like it's just over for him. Like, it's unfortunate. And I don't want to put him in this category, but this happens often. Where guys just, they're done.
Yeah.
I talk about it in football because it happens really injury reasons in football. Just walk off the cliff. Like one day you're just done. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have it anymore. Nobody wants you. You're not going to get your send off no matter how many years you played.
But that doesn't happen in the NBA.
I know it doesn't.
He's like the lone example.
I know it
really.
Doesn't. But it feels like it is happening.
Because he is hitting. I think he's off the cliff. If he didn't have buddies around the NBA, powerful buddies.
Yeah.
Buddies that yield decision-making juice.
Namely, like LeBron. Yeah.
And even, like, if Wade was still playing.
And Chris Paul's his buddy, too.
And Bosh.
But not that Chris Paul has any real power in Houston, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Chris Paul was in Houston. They still cut him.
Exactly.
I mean, so, obviously, not enough juice.
Right.
I think that, again, I'd like to see it finish differently for Carmelo, but, boy, those words, I hate to frame it this way because this is going to sound like a real egotistical thing to say, but those words validate everything that I've said about Carmelo Anthony for going back 6 years when people were fighting me on this. He's a great player. No, he's not. He's a great scorer. He'll never win anything because he's selfish. Mm-hmm. And I knew it.
Yeah.
Because I watched him every game and I'm like, no, there's, aside from not being a defender and all the things we know, there was just something missing, something awry, something absent. He's just not that guy.
What's the end game for Carmelo Anthony? He's going to go somewhere and do what?
Well, the end game is Anthony has his health and a lot of money, and he's got a great life in front of him.
Yeah, of course.
That's the end
I'm talking about professionally from a basketball standpoint because we saw what happened when he was in Oklahoma City. He kind of just stood around. He was a spot-up shooter who couldn't shoot spot-ups.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
he went to Houston and they had zero use for him. I mean, they almost, if they could have kept him off the court, they would have.
Do you think that's true?
So what happens to Carmelo Anthony as he tries to gracefully finish his career?
Yeah.
Because I've honestly felt like it's over already.
I do, too. And if LeBron wasn't in the NBA, I would say that it's over. Because there's no team on their own volition as they sit down and strategize and put their plans together for next season. Again, with all due respect to a great scorer, nobody will say to themselves, you know what?
He's going to help us.
We got to go get Carmelo Anthony. He's going to help us out. Because he's not going to help the young kids get better, okay, because he's selfish. He's not a defensive player like Trevor Ariza is older. Mm-hmm. Trevor Ariza still has value.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a 3-point shooter defender.
You're right.
So how do I think? There is one scenario, and I'm going to be fair to him now. Think about his last two stops.
Okay.
All right. You have James Harden, who monopolizes the ball, and you had Westbrook, who monopolizes the ball. Maybe if he gets to the Lakers and it's Rondo, who's a pass first guy, and it's LeBron, even though Vogel today said that LeBron's not playing point guard. Yeah. Relax,
then
Frank.
Why whatever come out LeBron last week and say he's moving to one?
Frank, just don't say anything, buddy. Just coach, please. Don't say it. It's not going to be good for you. But maybe with a more pass-oriented point guard, he can be a spot-up guy for 15 to 18 minutes a night. And where's the appeal for somebody like Carmelo? The appeal is that he's cheap, and you've got to fill out a roster.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's really the main answer.
It's just not how you thought Carmelo Anthony's career would wind.
I kind of did. I kind of did. I didn't think it would be this. I don't want to use the word graceless. But I know you said you look.
Yeah.
I don't want to frame it that way, but I just knew it wasn't going to be pretty. It wouldn't be pretty.
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain, like Russell Westbrook's end, it ain't going to be pretty. Now, it's not 3 years down the road. He's 30. Mm-hmm. He's got 4 years to go on his contract.
Yep.
But if Russell Westbrook's still trying to play at the age of 35 or 36, it ain't going to be pretty. Because he's not going to be the athlete that he is, and he's going to still be a bad shooter.
Yeah.
I wish Carmelo the best. I truly do. But those words are, and that's from his boy. And that's the crazy thing. Like, yeah, that's why I'm happy we played it and I didn't just read it. Like, there was no malice there. I think that
he's just saying what he knows, what he's experienced with Carmelo Anthony, and you take it how you take it.
Yeah, it's very matter of fact. But I also think that Chauncey started walking out the old proverbial plank, and he didn't really know he was as far out on the ledge as he really was. And again, you just extrapolate those few words. He could score 20 to 22, we win, and he's mad. He scores 36, we lose. And he's in there picking everybody up. End quote. Know what else you need to hear. All right. Martin Truex, you got a question for me to ask him? Not about to ask him. I mean, yes. Feed me some good questions, will you?
I will.
NASCAR. Tink follows this. This is going to be Tinky's show coming up.
Four left turns. That's how you're doing. Four left turns.
Didn't you race at the Poconos? You were the starter at the Poconos, right?
I did the pace car. At the Poconos.
Now, how fast do you go when you do that?
30? You have to hit 55.
Oh, you have to?
You have to.
Okay.
They're setting their car.
Uh-huh.
All the guys behind you are setting their... It's relative. 55 is relative. So if I'm 56, they think it's 55. And that matters when you go down pit row.
So there's a floor, but is there a ceiling? Like, you're not going to bust it up at 90.
No. As the pace car, you have to hit 55.
I thought you meant hit it and then go.
I have to level at 55 so they all can set their cars.
Yeah.
Which, because it's relative.
That's not easy to do.
55. I know it's not.
Is it a digital or is it just a little needle?
No, it's a little thing.
That's tough to do.
It is.
That's tough. Did you do it?
I did.
Of course he did.
I did.
He's Tiki. All right, Martin Truex coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Next hour, Barry Trammell. He's the guy who Russell Westbrook hates. I mean, he's the guy who has a bad relationship with Russell Westbrook.
Literally won't talk to him.
They won't talk to him. I guess if you don't speak to somebody, you don't hate them. You just don't acknowledge them. It's a little different.
Which is worse.
Yeah, I would agree. It's marginalization at the highest. I mean, if you hate me, I'd rather you tell me you don't like it. These guys don't even speak. It's odd. And he'll tell us where Westbrook is going to go, because I think we all believe that he is eventually going to go. Our next guest is going to go to the Kentucky Speedway coming up this weekend. So it's a night race, which adds a different dimension, the Quaker State 400. And that is Martin Truex, of course, NASCAR star, and is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Martin, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay,
good, man. Thanks for hopping on with us again. I know we chatted with you last summer as well, but in that time, you've switched teams, right? You're now Toyota with Joe Gibbs, yep. And we all know Joe Gibbs because I'm a football player. Obviously, I grew up a Redskins fan, so I know him as a football coach, not as a car owner. What's the transition been like for you?
It's been really good, honestly. I mean, the last couple seasons I was with Furniture Racing, and we had we raced Toyotas, and so we had a technical partnership with Joe Gibbs Racing, and I really got to know a lot of the guys there, and we kind of shared information and built cars together and shared technology and all that kind of stuff. So the transition's been really smooth. It's probably gone, honestly, even better than I expected. You know, I think to switch teams, to, you know, do all that and be sitting here just halfway through the year with four wins and second playoff standings, it's really been a good start. So, you never know how things are going to go exactly on a new team, but it's all been really, really good, and hopefully we can continue the success.
You know, one of the things that I always think about, it baffles me in some ways, but probably it doesn't, because you explained it a little bit there, sharing technologies and building things together. A team feels like, what we do in football or basketball or even baseball. How is racing on race day a team? And like, you know what I mean? It's like, how are you helping one another on race day, if that makes any sense of a question?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that it's kind of a tale of two stories, really. I mean, you work, we have at Joe Gibbs Racing, we have four cars. So we work together throughout the week. We build, obviously we share everything and build the same race cars. And we throughout the weekend we have meetings and talk about our cars and how they're driving and the things we change to make them better. And we really don't hold any secrets back. And when they drop the green flag on Sunday, we all want to beat each other, right? So it's you work together all week, and then you try to beat each other on Sunday, and that's just the way it is. And it's it works out really well, especially with for our team at Joe Gibbs Racing. We have three other great drivers. We all get along well. But we're fierce competitors on the racetrack, and we're able to put on a show. So it's so far so good. It's all been great, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, don't question it too much. If it's working, just keep rolling. Talking to Martin Truex here on Tiki and Tierney. Here's what I want to know, because certain golfers, and we talk about certain golf courses that fit your eye. You hear that often. Mm-hmm. Like this hole, even as hacks, you step up, you're like, oh, yeah, this kind of feels right. This is the way
Tiger
my ball
at the
goes.
Masters, right?
Yeah,
Tiger
exactly.
At Augusta.
No doubt. And your eye seems to fit the track that you're racing at coming up this weekend, but the tracks are the same. They're uniform dimensions. So when you go to the Kentucky Speedway, do you just feel like what is it about that track that makes you feel at home? Because you tend to dominate it.
Yeah, I mean, just, the last two seasons here, it's just been incredible. And, I credit a lot of that to my team, and just we were able to – they repaved this track just a few years ago, and we were just able to hit on something that worked, a feel that I liked in the car, just kind of knowing what I needed to feel in it, and then being able to give me that. And, sometimes you go to tracks and you're just like, you know what you're looking for, but you can't find it, and you have to have that whole combination because it's so competitive. So we've been fortunate enough to hit it right. And I like the racetrack and you come in with a positive attitude and a good past history. It's always good for that momentum. So hopefully we can keep it going. A lot has changed since last year when we came here, the cars now, the rules and the way you set the cars up and all that. I mean, it's totally different. So, it's really going to be a new learning curve coming in here this weekend.
Yeah, that's the Quaker State 400. It's at 7:30 p.m. This is on Saturday NBC, I should say, Sports Network. How different or difficult is it racing at night versus, in the height of the day when these races are usually going off?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, honestly, it's probably a little bit easier just because the cooler the track is, the better the tires stick to it.
Yeah.
So you run a little bit faster, the car handles a little bit better. And the nighttime element, something about it, just, I think most of us that race grew up racing on short tracks, local short tracks, and most of those races tend to be on Saturday night. So it kind of brings you back to your roots a little bit. It has that kind of old school feel to it, I think. And you know, seeing the sparks fly and the cars hitting the track and making the sparks come out and all that is always something that's added at night, which makes it more exciting.
All right, so we're talking to Martin Truex with us here on Tiki and Tierney. And you know, I got to ask you, because last time we had John, we all know you're a devout Eagles fan, which makes it interesting because you got the Eagles, you're talking to a Giant, you got Gibbs with the Redskins. I mean, come on, what happened to Dallas? Where is it? Do you have any Dallas connection with you here? But what I want to know, because we need to get you on the record with this, did you want them to jettison Nick Foles? Did you? Carson Wentz is good. He's really good. Also a little bit banged up. Did they make the right decision with your football team at quarterback?
I'll let you know in about 6 months. How's that?
That's not good enough, Dave, if you want to know the truth. We got to get you on the record. Now, hey, you can always say you were wrong, but we got to get an opinion today, Martin. That's how we roll on Tiki and Tierney. Come on.
I'll tell you this. I'm nowhere near the expert at football that you guys are, and so I'm not going to stick my foot in my mouth. But I am a big Wentz fan. I think he's going to, you know, he's an incredible quarterback. But, man, Foles was just like – clockwork, you know, when the pressure was on, you couldn't phase him. And, you know, hopefully Wentz can stay healthy and get back to where he was a few years ago.
You know, it's interesting, Martin, because we've talked to golfers and they talk about these other sports while they're in their, you know, in the locker room or they're putting around or messing around. Are NASCAR drivers as ingrained in the other sports as some of these other sports are? Or are you guys still overly focused? You know what I mean? Is there a rivalry because of your home you know, team, whoever it may be?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, inside the garage and inside the team, there's always, you know, during football season, of course, we, you know, typically race on Sunday, so we miss a lot of it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A lot of guys play fantasy football, and, you know, everybody's kind of trash talking about their teams, especially when they're playing head-to-head, right? You know, so that's all fun, and, you know, I definitely enjoy the game, love watching football, and going to some games here and there as well. So it's been fun, and it'll be a little bit different this season driving for Coach Gibbs, and we'll have to see what kind of input he has.
Yeah, you know,
things
I
like that should be fun.
Pardon me, Martin. I don't know if this is true, but I would gather that in terms of the football rivalry, it's probably a little bit more college-oriented because, you know, a lot of drivers from the South, not all, but a lot of them, SEC country, ACC country, you know. I mean, I would imagine you get a lot of Bama-Auburn battles in Florida and, you know, LSU, right? You probably get a little bit more of that than the NFL?
No, I would say it's probably half and half.
Okay.
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. So, yeah, I mean, it's obviously both. Both are followed very closely by a lot of different people, so it's definitely fun to be a part of that and just talk about it and hear what people think. And of course, when you go down to Talladega, it gets a little bit crazy. Alabama and Auburn fans, you know,
yeah,
nuts,
yeah, no, it's
crazy.
Awesome. All right, Martin, you're fifth now. I think BT mentioned this, fifth in the standings in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup race currently. Joey Logano sitting atop, but you're tied for the most. No, you're second most with wins with four on the season. How do you make up ground here?
Well, it's been good. You know, as I mentioned earlier, new team, new season, a lot of new things. You know, I think that being just past halfway with four wins is probably, you know, I would say maybe even a little bit better than I expected. So
yeah,
that's good. And now I think we've just, especially here lately, I think in the last, I don't know, eight or nine races, we won four of them. So we've kind of just starting to get hot. We've had, it seems like we have a bad race and then we win. And then we have a bad race and then we win. So we had a bad race last weekend. Hope we win again at Kentucky, but just trying to get that consistency a little bit better for when the playoffs start, because when the playoffs start with those elimination races, if you have one bad race, you're going to find yourself where you don't want to be, and that's on the outside. So keep that consistency going. Hopefully put some more wins in the win column and try to collect as many bonus points as we can for the playoffs.
I got to tell you, Martin, I've been in the racing for a long time. I grew up in Southwest Virginia and Martinville, was not that far away from me. BT hasn't been to a race yet. I got to get him to one. I was at Pocono with you guys last year. I was in the pace car. And so I've seen it up close more recently. I got to get BT down there. But we just want to wish you good luck and appreciate you hopping on with us this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. on NBC Sports Network. Martin and the rest of these guys will be out there for the Quaker State 400. Good luck, Martin. Appreciate you hopping on again with us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Hope to see you this year. It's a race somewhere.
Most certainly.
There you go.
Be good.
I thought maybe he might say, well, we can drive the pace car, get him in there.
the window
is a little bit open for it.
You get out there and do it. We know Tracy knows the guys.
I drive like a maniac.
Tracy knows the guys at Pocono because we made it sensory inclusive. I think it was the first racetrack that was sensory inclusive.
That's got to be more challenging than the other.
Without
venues,
a doubt.
For sure.
With the sound and the noise.
Man.
And
yeah.
But it was fun and it's close.
Yeah.
It's easy,
not far.
It's easy
not
to get to. So we should go out there and do the pace car.
I'd do it, but you have to stay at 55?
I mean, you can do a ride around and not do the pace car. But if you're going to do the pace car, you better hit it because it matters. Otherwise, they get a penalty on pit road.
But I'm still confused as to how this matters. I know for NASCAR fans,
row,
this sounds like the dumbest
row,
question in the
think,
world.
Think of pit row. Pit row, you have to hit a speed limit.
Yep.
Right? You can't be over it. You can't be, you know, otherwise you get a penalty. And
okay.
You get put to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If that happens, it lessens your chance to win.
So if you're not at 55, it obviously gives
and
them
you
a false.
You calibrate yeah. your speedometer by the pace car. That's what the pace car is for.
I thought it was just a symbolic start to the race. No. I swear to God, I thought it was like, hey, Tinky Barber's going to take us around to get this thing going today, folks.
That too, but still.
And actually, you actually have a responsibility?
There is a responsibility.
I didn't know that.
You know, I didn't realize it.
Oh, okay, you didn't realize it
until
either.
I was in there.
Yeah, well,
like,
there you go.
I'm like, he's like, you know, you got to really hit it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, they're calibrating off you. I'm like, all right, hold on.
Where I might start angling some bets there.
Yeah,
because if I make a deal with somebody, seventh car behind me, there's probably a way to manipulate that, right?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. But, I mean, you're going to get busted somewhere.
Well, I'm not going to get in trouble.
Oh,
if
might.
I go 57
yeah, but
and
then
it
every,
helps seven cars back, I don't know.
Yeah, but then all those guys are going to get caught speeding on pit row because they're going to think they're going 55.
And they'll get punished, and then I'll bet on somebody who doesn't get, who lags behind and is able to.
You're a devious, man.
You got to think these things through.
Martin Truex, he's a good dude.
He's a
you
good
can tell.
Yeah.
He won the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series back in 2017. That's when he was at his height. We'll see what happens.
And he's got 4 wins this year.
Yep.
Tied for most on the circuit,
four
as you said.
Halfway.
All right. And he died night. I mean, the night race has to be pretty. It's different than, I don't know what time you wake up on race day when you're actually conventional noon start, whatever it is. But a night start probably messes your day up a little bit.
Yeah, just different.
A little bit.
Yeah. But you ought to think, though, because these tracks get hot.
Yeah,
it's hot
well, his
there.
Point about the tire holding the ground more.
But think about how you feel sitting in a car that's 95 degrees.
I think these guys
you're doing 400 miles. You
don't
know what
they
I mean?
Lose like 400, like 100,
yeah.
like, not on, I mean, yeah, like 17 or 18
yeah,
pounds
yeah,
over the
definitely.
Course of a race? They
definitely,
can, right?
Definitely.
Wow. And the restroom same as marathoners? They just do what you got to do.
Right.
That kind of how it goes in the car?
That's a good question.
I think so. I was going to ask him, but I'm like, that's going to be a dumb question. But they have to. They're not stopping.
Of course.
I mean, when they stop to get, you know, pitted up, it's not like they leave the scene.
No.
They don't go to the bathroom.
They're
still
have,
visible.
They probably have like a cup or something in there.
You got to try to find a cup when you're going 169 miles an hour
like,
to whatever you go
it's
in.
It's probably in the suit.
Oh, there you go. Get the Wizinator in the suit. All right, let's get out of here. Let's get the update for Mac. We've got football at the 40s after that, and I just came across a story, and it's interesting. Four NFL teams lost significant fans in the last decade. Tell you which teams, and we'll try to find out why. Axe update is right now. Here's Rich. Okay, this weekend, big matchups. Highlight 2 days of hoops in the Big Three as Cube and the crew roll through Rhode Island and Brooklyn, Barclays Center. Followed by a little PGA action at the John Deere Classic, all on CBS. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I just read a really interesting article that I guess was posted, I don't know, maybe right when we finished up the interview with Martin Truex, I saw the highlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, I got to read this. I read it during the break. It's interesting. We'll get to it after football at the 40s. Maybe even branch into a top of the hour conversation. I don't think it's the kind of thing that you jam in there.
Yeah.
And I think when you hear it, I think you'll agree. It's about football. It's certainly thought-provoking. But before we get to that, some other football stuff. Football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney. On CBS Sports Radio.
We start with the Dallas Cowboys and their quarterback, Dak Prescott. Is Dak being realistic and sensible, or is Dak being incredibly naive? Let's figure this out. Quote, for somebody to say he can only take so much because of the salary cap, or he can only do this or that, I don't know how fair that is to say.
Mm-hmm.
He would go on to expound and ultimately say that everybody, you know, him and Cooper and, of course, Zeke,
yep,
can get paid and will get theirs this offseason. It's easy to say that when you're the quarterback, and the quarterback almost always gets paid. But is he right? I mean, can all three guys walk away truly happy?
It's going to be hard. The Dallas Cowboys have about $20 million or so in cap space going into this season. Next season, it'll likely go up. It's been averaging an increase of about $10 million per year, BT. Because of the gambling money, some new stadium revenues, naming rights for those stadiums, the salary cap is likely to jump even more. So I guess what Dak is alluding to is that, look, money's coming into the league. We're healthy. We're going to be $16, $17 billion in a couple of years. That means the salary cap's going up. That means that all of us can get paid. The question is, though, is it smart to do that for all of them at once, which is probably not. I think he's right. But it's a little bit more nuanced than him just saying, we all deserve it, so we're all going to get it.
But here's the additional nuance. And I mentioned this came up. We were talking about Melvin Gordon the first hour, and I just mentioned the Cowboys. And it's, you know, you give up that much for Amari Cooper, you can't let him walk.
Exactly.
You got to find a way to sign
him. And he's a free agent next year.
Yeah.
Like that, so that one really has to.
Well, there's no way you're going to let Zeke Elliott walk, and you think you have your quarterback of the future, which is what everybody's been pursuing for, you know, forever.
And
you got to find a way to make it happen.
Zeke is.
Somebody's going to have to bend a little bit.
And it's going. This will be his fourth year.
One, two, three, four.
So luckily for them, the franchise tags. Dak is getting done. Forget Dak. Mm-hmm. That deal's getting done. The franchise tag is available for Cooper next year if you need it, mm-hmm. And then also because they picked up the fifth-year option on Zeke for Zeke the year after that.
Still just a temporary solution, though. But not very harmonious,
you can
I
work
think.
It out. You can work it out, though. That's my point. It's mm-hmm. not like it's got to get done right now.
Yeah.
Because you can only tag one of them, and they're both free agents. They have – it actually kind of works out perfectly for Dallas to get all three of these guys signed.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it's the most prudent thing to get all three of these guys signed.
Okay. Hugh Jackson. Hugh's got to stop talking. I don't even know why I'm doing this story because Hugh Jackson wants another head coaching opportunity.
What's his career record now?
Well, it was three. He's 3-36-1 with the Browns.
So that's
8-11.
Eight
lone reason.
So that's 11.
He's got 11 wins and 44 losses and one tie. Hire him. I mean,
wow.
I'll tell you who should hire him. I'll tell you who should hire him. Now, I don't know if his ego would allow him to do this, but if I am a team in a power, like I find a team in, not, I wouldn't do the
thing.
SEC.
I was thinking the same thing.
I wouldn't do the SEC.
Yeah.
I'd do the Pac-12. He's got roots. He was out in Cal.
Right.
I find a low-rung team that's desperate for some offense. I believe he can bring that to you.
Hey, look.
And it'll bring a little charisma as well.
Hermet, of course.
No doubt about it.
Hugh Jackson is a good coach and a good guy. He was just in a bad spot.
But he talks too much for his own good.
And he handled it way too.
He just keeps talking.
Exactly.
You don't explain away 3-36-1. You keep your mouth shut.
He was too aggressive. He was too aggressive in trying to explain it away.
Correct.
Right? You got to let other people do that kind of talking for you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Now, Herm Edwards, Marvin Lewis, they're at ASU right now.
Yeah.
Right? And he's young enough.
He's 53.
Exactly.
That's young.
He's young enough to go to college, have a name, have the ability to recruit, and really impact a conference that is on the, like, I don't even know where to put this.
That's why you can make a dent.
Right?
If you,
so he could go out there and make a serious impact on one of these schools.
Yeah, he's 53, as I just said, but he also he projects even younger than that. He's got a youthful delivery. He's got a youthful presence.
Maybe
but
USC even, right?
Because USC can't hire Hugh Jackson.
Clay Helton?
No way.
Well, I know they're.
I can't mess around if I'm USC with Hugh Jackson.
Really?
No way. I can't. There's no way. I couldn't sign. If Hugh's watching, take it the wrong
doesn't
way.
Doesn't he have tie? I think he has a tie.
He's got a tie from Cal. He might have one at USC. His real ties at Cal. There's no way
maybe
I can justify that.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
It's definitely Cal. I can't justify that. Are you kidding me? 3-36-1.
But forget, I mean, if he forget was his
Baker,
NFL record.
Put it this way. If he was with Baker for 2 years Baker started to get Baker dissed him.
Yeah, I was
Baker
right. Sampson, like him. Right? He was a former coordinator, 97 to 2000. He was a coordinator at USC.
Right before, I guess that was right before Carson Palmer went to the NFL, right? Well, no, Carson was what, 03 draft, I
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I think he
was. 03 sound
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because he played
he just
15 years. Yeah, he just missed him, but.
Point being.
He has a history.
If you're USC, you can't. But how do you put somebody on the base who was 3-36-1?
But let's be real. USC can't miss again.
Exactly, which is why you don't hire him. You're saying he's a home run.
I don't know. I don't know.
Home run.
He's a good coach, BT.
He was 336. I know the Browns were dysfunctional, but he was 336.
Dysfunctional is giving them too much credit.
Maybe. That's fair. I'll even put the record aside. Here's my biggest problem and my biggest concern. Players didn't even like him. Mm. Like, Baker visibly dissed him on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like, guys were throwing shade at him.
Baker. That's because of what he said after he left.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I don't think they were safe to see him go. They played better when Freddie took over, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I USC, no, I can't. No, I would never sign off on that. This is interesting. The Texans are not going to hire a GM for the 2019 season. Innovative or foolish?
Well, we know how this is all going to work out. Eventually, they are going to hire, I'm not forgetting his name, Nick Caserio.
Mm-hmm. From the Pats.
From the New England Patriots. Caserio's got one more year left on his deal. He wanted to prematurely get out of it. The Patriots denied him and then threatened to, you know, file a tampering charge against the Houston Texans. So they're going to wait a year and then hire Nick Caserio. That's why they fired Brian Gain. A lot of people are trying to position it for merit because he couldn't get a deal done with Jadeveon Clowney, which we've talked about, and some other free agents that they've had issues with. But this is really all about the Houston Texans really wanting Nick Caserio. In the interim, it's weird. Like, Jack Easterby, who, by the way, was like the character coach for the New England Patriots. He's going to share some of the...
Is that his actual title?
That was his title with the Pats.
Character coach?
Now he's the director of...
Now he's the personality coach.
I think it's seriously something like that.
He's
like,
the comedic coach. I mean, the character coach.
It's like Chris Olsen and some of these other guys. The head coach is going to be the GM as well out there, Bill O'Brien.
Okay. This didn't garner a whole lot of attention. It rarely does, but although, you know, T. Pryor a couple years back, mm-hmm. supplemental. Dave Brown was a supplemental pick for you guys out of Duke.
Right.
The great Dave Brown. The Cardinals selected Washington State safety Jalen Thomas in the fifth round of the supplemental draft on Wednesday. I got to be honest with you. I do this for a living. I didn't even know that it was going on.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the
nary a buzz.
I saw a note about it a couple of days ago, like who you should look for. And this was the only kid that they said was worth it. Because what happens when you take a kid in the supplemental draft is you lose that draft pick.
Correct.
In the next year's draft.
Which
so
is why
2020,
Al Davis got hammered.
Exactly.
Because they had to give up a third round
exactly
for T. Pryor.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So Jalen Thomas now is the fifth round pick, uh-huh. basically. Of the Cardinals in 2020. So they don't have a fifth round pick in 2020.
Correct.
And it's really worth doing that because if none of these kids who have issues at school, whether it's eligibility or other things that force them not to be able to play, they still have to be 3 years removed from high school graduation, right? If they don't get picked, they become free agents. Mm-hmm. So if you really love the kid, just wait for him to become a free agent and sign him as a free agent.
You could do that. All right, little pop quiz. Santa, you should know the answer to this because you know him. Now, he might not be the best, but he was one of the best supplemental picks of all time. You know him. He used to work with him. Santa is asleep right now. He has no idea what's going on.
Hmm.
He used to do shows with him.
Ron Wolfley?
No.
Rob Moore?
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, I did a couple shows with Rob Moore.
Rob Moore?
Right. Rob Moore's good. We had him. The Cardinals had him. He was out of Syracuse supplemental. Usually... You know, I don't know. I'm sure there's some others in the past that were actually pretty good.
Dave Brown's the only one that jumps off the top of my head because he was with the Giants.
Yep. Yeah, supplemental pick.
Yeah, we don't talk about the supplemental
pick
draft.
Not really. what is it? Oh, the World Series of Poker run ends for Mr. Seymour. What about $60,000? I didn't see the picture.
No, I didn't.
Was he wearing shades?
No,
I mean,
he
was
wasn't. He's looking mean.
He's got a mean mugging.
He's got a mean mug on.
Oh yeah.
I might have to lose on purpose to that.
Did he lose in sloppy fashion? Was it like?
Well, he went all in.
Okay.
For
$725,000.
Yep. With two other guys left on the tournament and.
What did he had a king high.
Yeah, king high.
And a four diamonds.
Yep.
And the other guy had a queen, two queens.
Two queens.
And an ace in the three.
Yep.
So.
And then on the flop, they got a king.
Which is generous because he got a little lucky there.
He did.
Get that second king.
Wait, how did he lose
then? Yeah, you would think he got. Yeah, it's true. Well, how did he lose? Three of a kind.
Gotcha.
Jai had three queens.
Gotcha.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
60 to large, though.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So he got it on the flop. He lost it on the turn.
Buries you all the time.
Yeah.
The old turn. I still am not very good at poker. Man. I don't lie. It's just, it's too slow. Pull the cards. A 5 and a 9. I can't play. Boring.
It's just interesting how they like draw out how this all happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's always odds attached to that one.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.